Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Online all the time, 24-7, 365 at npr.org/Bryant Park.
We got to get to 365. We've only been on the air since October 1st. But so we'll work up to it.
Over.
I'm not sure what day it is. We're on the air 114. I'm Allison Stewart along with guest host Torre. Time for some of the news you can't really use, but man, it's interesting. It's the Ramble. All right, we've got a real-life Bonnie and Clyde story here. A fella named Roger Dillon, remember the last name, he worked for about 9 months at an armored car company in Ohio, you know, and then he apparently, I don't know why the other employees didn't notice that he was paying a lot of attention to how the shifts change, what the combinations of the safes were.
I wonder why.
Shift patterns, yeah. The Monday after Thanksgiving, the largest amount of monies from retailers are in company safes. Now, this allegedly, he and his girlfriend emptied them all and fled to West Virginia, where they met up with his mom. So it's like Bonnie and Clyde and mom. They had $7.4 million
nice.
That they were able to steal after all those big Thanksgiving holiday sales. Now, in addition to all the alleged stealing, the couple's interests include role-playing games, vampire novels. They've been dubbed the Goth Bonnie and Clyde. This is a quote from the police chief in town where the theft happened. Quote, "It sounds like a good plan, I know, but they left a trail like Hansel and Gretel leaving crumbs in the forest." Among the crumbs, the guy didn't show up for work at the armored company, car company the next day. Crumb number one. The girlfriend and the mom couldn't be found. Crumb number two. They bought a minivan that next day. I bet they paid cash, too. Wait, I'm just going to guess.
Why a minivan and not, say, a Cayenne?
Because they had a lot. I don't know. Maybe they needed the extra room for all that money. the girl's pickup abandoned in a parking lot and ended a receipt for heating oil delivered to the mobile home where they were found. Basically, they were busted. They faced 25 years each. Mom's looking at 15. They became folk heroes in Ohio, but they were ridiculed for only making as far as West Virginia. A local rock station began playing this song called Dumb as Dillon, as in Roger Dillon. Take a listen.
The plot went off like clockwork, too easy, too for real. Wait until Black Friday, the money's there to steal. He used to work for the armored car, carry money by the sack. If he could only get a fit, he'd never give it back. Would you be dumb as Dillon? Would you know where to hide? In Potsdam, West Virginia, in Mama's double wide.
Okay.
Classic.
That is courtesy of Bubba and Bo in the Morning. No, I don't know what the name of the show is. I have no idea.
These are the opinions of Allison Stewart.
I'm just guessing.
Why West Virginia and not, say, Rio?
Oh, many places they could have gone.
Davos, perhaps, with that kind of money. Speaking of money, Starbucks is trying a price cut, cutting the cost of a small cup of joe from $1.50 to just $1. For now, they're only doing it in Seattle, but this is what I call an economic stimulator. Starbucks saw its first ever decline in store traffic last quarter. It has been steadily increasing since it launched in 1992. The place Allison sometimes calls $4 has been facing tough comp from McDonald's, where a small coffee is $1.07, and Dunkin' Donuts, where a small costs you $1.39. This will undercut both, and Starbucks will be giving free refills.
I love Dunkin' Donuts. I'm staying with it.
Why ever leave Starbucks, though? No word on whether the test is part of a new pricing plan or if we'll see cheaper coffee outside of Seattle. Who knows? Starbucks also has a few stores in other cities around the country, if you haven't noticed. In related news, Starbucks is also planning to open a franchise inside your house. Yes, that means you. They want representation in every inch of America.
Come on, little Johnny can be a barista. You know he can. Remember American tennis player Michael Chang, the 17-year-old who became the youngest man ever to win a Grand Slam title. Oh. That was the French Open back in 1989. He's now in the International Tennis Hall of Fame, elected yesterday to be inducted in July. Nearly 20 years ago, Chang was unseated when he beat the number one seed Yvonne Lendl and the number three seed Stefan Edberg to win at Roland Garros. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Thank you. I recognize
Kudos.
two of three of those names.
You also noticed that he only won one Grand Slam,
yes,
but I digest.
But he's 35 years old. He plays on the senior tour now, believe it or not. And now the great lady from, I said the great lady, I said the good lady from New York, cedes the rest of my time of the story to my co-host, Teray, who would like to rant about this because Teray was a, I'll say you were an excellent tennis player. You played competitively,
very
competitively, and you used to write for Tennis Magazine.
That's right.
I cede my time. Go.
Allison, a great disservice has been done to tennis. A pusher has found his way into the Hall of Fame. In tennis, to be called a pusher is the highest of insults. It means to sit at the baseline and retrieve balls and basically lob them back. It's a style of no courage. A style you see on public courts utilized by old men who are simultaneously working on a tan. And by timid young players too afraid of getting hit by the ball to actually rush the net and show some cojones. Chang was their champion. He was the ultimate pusher, and when he won the French, they rejoiced. But there is no joy in Mudville today because the man who taught kids to serve underhanded when they were in trouble has been immortalized. And inside, I'm shedding a tear for the sport I love.
Done and done. Are you all right over there? You look so sad.
I'm crying. Not Chang.
Finally, the Blue Man Group facing a lawsuit from an audience member who didn't really appreciate that audience participation thing. He says the Blue Man forced a video camera down his throat and projected images of his mouth and throat on a big screen. He alleges that he, quote, struggled to free himself as they surrounded him, inserted the camera as he was, as he claimed, forcibly restrained. The suit gets even nastier, claiming the so-called esophagus can was covered in food and grime from the theater floor, as well as, wait for it, blue paint from the actors' faces. He's seeking $50,000 in damages.
Haven't you been a blue man?
I have been a blue man target. You know, when you go into the Blue Man Group, ooh, I need to move my belt.
Danged yourself.
They give you sort of tissue paper, and I didn't realize that if you put it on, if you wrap it around your head or your arm or something, it's a signal to them, hey, I'm willing to go up on stage. I got stared down by a blue man, and yeah. The rest is history. Embarrassing moments in my life. Hey, you know what? I think we rambled.
I feel rambled.
All right. That's it. That's the ramble.